IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we were talking about the cyber aspect to this war. It is definitely, or certainly seems to be, playing a larger role than we have seen in prior conflicts. Dylan Kayla, cybersecurity analyst, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi there. How are you doing?
I am well, Dylan. I'm struggling to hear you. Let's see if we can get it a bit louder on our side. Can you hear us clearly?
Yes, I can hear you very clearly.
All right. It's you're clear, but you're quite soft. So if I can just ask you to shout as loud as possible when you talk to us, that'll be great. So Dylan, what are some of your observations around this conflict?
All right. I hope that you will be able to hear me. Right. So it's quite interesting because a lot of this war, as much as it is physical and it's using the conventional methods of war, such as land, sea, and air, all of that is underpinned by the information space. And that is the domain of computers. So you find that there's a lot going on in this war that we can't actually see because it's within the internet itself.
Right. So it's all happening almost behind the scenes. But when we start to look at the picture and we see that RT, which is Russia Today, was taken offline, we see that we see all sorts of things happening in terms of Belarus, in terms of Russian military. That says that there's quite a strong play in the background.
Of course, this is this war has brought in a lot of different factors, right, and a lot of very diverse players. So, for example, you have Anonymous, that is clearly picked aside. For those that don't know, Anonymous was a very well-known hacking group from the late 2000s. And for those that are familiar with what ransomware is, there's these organized ransomware gangs that are picking sides. So they're either picking sides for Ukraine or Russia and then going to war with the other team.
Right. Is it common or is it unusual for people, or not people, organizations like Anonymous to pick a side? Is that what we'd expect?
You can expect that from Anonymous. They do tend to be mission-based in their actions, right? They tend to want to stand for something. And this is a perfect platform for them to come and state their mission.
How significant is it? I mean, it's a nice psychological win to see Russia Today going down, the same as the Kremlin. It's very nice. But does it actually impact on the trajectory of the war?
You know, that's actually an interesting question with regards to the technical aspect. So, for example, those that are not aware, the Russian military website was also taken down,
right?
In a sense, right? And this can have a huge impact on email. So for anyone that's had their front website of their organization go down before, this impacts not just seeing the front website of that organization, but all email delivery is pretty much stopped if you hit it in the right way with something called a DNS record. So if you can change the DNS record, any emails will stop, all types of communication and software will be halted. So there are certain technical aspects that if you target those specifically, you can impact more than just the website, but actually the entire organization itself.
In other words, because it cuts communication, that would be...
Right,
these
computers or any software that has, for example, mil.ru, which is the Russian military website, if they can't resolve that DNS record to an IP address, then any software, any emails, it's all down pretty much. It depends on which aspect that they targeted, but it's a discussion of how one little change can really take down a whole system.
Surely these websites, Russian military, the Kremlin, would have been secure. Does that mean that almost any website can be hacked?
Yeah, so this is a question about platform and platform security. So although the Russian website is accessible to the public, it's probably being hosted somewhere on some vendor that has a vulnerability. So let's just remind ourselves that we are involving players that are the elite when it comes to hacking, right? These ransomware gangs and many gangs that are getting involved, tend to know what are known, they are called 0 days, right? So the idea is that it's an undisclosed vulnerability within the code that they know, and they can sell to other gangs for millions of dollars, tens of millions of Bitcoin.
Right.
And yeah, this is like pulling out that special champagne or whiskey for that special day. You're going to bring it to the...
Right. I guess that's one way.
Because no one knows about it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Unsigned is asking, a lot of the weapons use technology today. Is it possible to hack military hardware, like a tank, for example?
Yeah, so that's a question about attack vectors, right? So how would you actually attack it? We might be familiar with websites being taken down. Now, a tank does not have a website.
Right.
Your cell phone has Wi-Fi, so that's an attack vector. I'm assuming tanks do not have Wi-Fi, but they do have a lot more low-level hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is communication from that tank on some protocol, you could probably figure out the protocol. And all you have to do is figure out where there's a loophole, and then you need to exploit that. So pretty much anything that hasn't been designed flawlessly, which is everything that exists, has loopholes that can be exploited. So technically, you could...
Technically, it's possible. The aside from, you know, there's this always this debate, and the more I read up on what was happening during the Second World War, Malcolm Gladwell does an amazing thing on it in the Bomber Mafia, where he looks at whether they would have precision bombing or widespread bombing. And there was this debate whether it was better to break the spirit of the people by bombing the whole city or by taking out targets. I guess to some extent, we're going to see the same thing happening in cyber warfare, because you could, in theory, take out a water supply system of a whole city and bring that city to its knees because you don't have water for them, or you could go for a very, very targeted military installation that takes out the military or factories that stop them from carrying on the machinery of war. Are we starting to see cyber warfare as proper warfare, or is it still happening sporadically versus sort of, let's say, a bombing campaign?
I think we have different domains when it comes to war, right? So most people are familiar with land, sea, and air,
mm-hmm.
right? These are the classic domains from the Great War. And then we also have space, which has come into play in the last three or four decades. But every single one of these domains, you require up-to-date information to know what is the best action to take. And the realm of information is that of cyberspace, once again. So every single realm is actually controlled and managed through cyberspace. So what I'm trying to get at is that it's very complicated when once you have something called multi-domain warfare,
mm-hmm.
right, where what you do is you control the land from the sea, right? Or you control the air or space through the cyber realm. It gets very complicated. But we are seeing the cyber realm become more and more important in the last two decades.
And that's all we have time for, unfortunately. Dylan Keller, cyber security analyst, talking to us about the other front that is being fought in this war. It is 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.